got that idea, have that invite. So from that point, I move on the trip to Discovery. Mm-hmm. Any questions up to now?
Wow, that's just amazing. I'm enjoying this. Carry on.
Okay, well, at that point, then they said, okay, I gave them permission. They asked. They gave me an invite. I gave them permission. Okay, yeah, let's go. I qualified it, of course, that I wanted to return. And little did I know that I would have a very hard time wanting to return, that I would gain this feeling of wanting to stay there. But in any case, going on the path of that discovery was taken to a location that we seemed to be able to see outside, and then realize that we're going to go on a ride. But because there were people, and because of that fact, and looking at what technologies we had with the Apollo program, you know, following the space race from, you know, Mercury, Project Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo, mm-hmm. right on to the moon, very closely, my observation. I didn't necessarily believe everything I saw, because when I was viewing things, they showed it to me first on a screen, what appeared to be a rectangular screen, what would be like very much similar to what our large flat screen TVs are like, except even thinner. Mm-hmm. And we're at that level which we'll be having technologies like that, essentially thin film type, very, very thin, OLED type. And anyway, because I was viewing this, I was going, well, might be showing me, in my mind, I'm being a little bit of a skeptic. So they move to the moon. And they showed the moon to me, and I says, okay, well, you're still probably showing me some kind of movie, because I'm not sure if I left planet Earth. I'm really in this craft, because it didn't seem to feel like there was any motion. This is the thing that gave me that feeling like, should I believe it? I wonder if we're still in the same spot. You know, it's not like even riding a car where you feel a little bit of acceleration or movement. Mm-hmm. Well, we went past the moon, and as I saw the moon pass, I decided, well, the moon's getting a little bit small, and they said, yeah, this is the moon, and we went past it, and on the side of the moon that stays away from the planet, away from Earth, I said, oh, okay. Maybe not. Maybe this is not some video or some movie. I call it a movie. And this is okay. And this pointed out to me that as we passed the moon, they made a little note. This is, we're there too. We have a little operation back there. So I said, okay. I'm not quite believing everything yet. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the moon and the Earth, and the moon became, and the whole thing was so far away, it's like, basically, okay, we're not even, we've gone past this. This is not from the Apollo videos or movies or whatever. This is beyond that. And I said, okay, this is, I believe you now. Well, and then they turned it off, and next thing you know, I was in a different position with, you know, kind of, you can go around this area. So it wasn't all that big of a deal. So basically sat down, which didn't seem very long. And said, okay, come, Michael, come here. And they opened. They made what would be opaque. They made this area, I guess it might be the observation dome area. Mm-hmm. To be transparent. And lo and behold, the first thing I see is Saturn. 360-degree viewpoint in this observation point. It's not looking at the screen anymore. And I'm looking at that, and I'm going, wow, it's so beautiful. This is Saturn. And there was another guy there who was basically like the pilot. He looked back and he says, oh, great, you know where you're at. And I said, yeah, of course. I mean, it's the rings, and it's obviously Saturn. And my, it took me all the way to Saturn. And I says, yeah. And then he pointed out, look over there. And I said, okay. Pointed out what appeared to be a little white light.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it, and I looked really good at it. It had a shape that looked like a light bulb, of all things. And then I described it. You mean that light bulb looking thing over there? That light bulb? And he immediately said, it's not a light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a light bulb. Well, it looks like a light bulb. And he says, yes, you got the right area. Yeah, that's where we're going. I said, whoa, we're going to go over there. And of course, in comparison to Saturn, it looked pretty small. But we approached it directly head on. We didn't go, you know, cruising around Saturn, orbiting Saturn, anything. We just went straight for it. As going straight for it, began to notice it started to get really big, and it came in pretty good, in a pretty good clip, fast, and it grew to the point essentially as we got closer. The perspective came to a point where it was immense.
Mm-hmm.
It was taking up full 180-degree perspective. I mean, it was just huge. And I said, oh, no, we're going to go crashing into it. We better stop. You know, it's going to crash in. And the guy just looked at me, and he says, we're going to go through. And what is it? You know, what is it? Boom. You know, we went right through. And I said, wow, what is that? A force field or something? And he says, it was a field, not a force field. It's a field. So we went through that. And then, as passing that, and it's quite luminescent too, it's like radiating light. And as I went through, it became a little darker. And I could see what appeared to be something solid.
Mm-hmm.
And we were headed straight for an opening, which had opened up. And then we went into that. After landing, after coming to the stop, cleaning or getting off the ship, essentially getting off the ship, moving together, I was greeted by someone right away, and I looked back at Dan and Nella, who was so nice to me, and she said, you can go now. We have arranged for you something. So I went out, and as I stepped down, kind of like, okay, well, let's see where I'm going. And I started walking with what appeared to be just a couple of people. I'm not sure who they were. I'm not even sure if I really remember. I was much more impressed with my guide, who introduced himself, and he said, hello, I'm your guide, and I am a guide of graduate status, and we'll be showing you around. I'm not sure if graduate status or pre-graduate status, but he used the word graduate. I said, graduate, you're going to school? And he says, well, just here, and it takes a long time to prepare so I can help like you. So I said, okay, all right, I'll follow you around. He said, yes, come with me. So we walked. The first place we walked into was like a forest.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we went around, passed, and I was just walking 2 feet, you know, walked through an opening, doorway, brightly lit was what appeared to be a forest at twilight. Mm-hmm. And I looked in this forest and I was like, wow, okay, you got a few trees here. And of course I realized this is out in Saturn now at their base or whatever this place is called. And it's pretty nice. It's like a park. And I noticed some what appeared to be birds, but there seemed to be like sleeping in the tree. Yeah, I said, okay, sleeping. That's all I did. We just walked through a leisurely stroll through a path. I believe that path is meant for human transition. Those who from Earth must transit through something familiar, and that would be like a park, mm-hmm. with trees, grass. That's the first place I walked through. And then we went on, and we said so there's a lot more to it, but you got the idea. And I said, yeah, I got the idea. This is nice. You got trees here and things, and, you know, like a little forest. And I'm not sure how far it goes. And he says, well, it goes pretty far, so we don't have the time, but let's continue on. So we went on a bit, and came to a pathway from that pathway, which wasn't exceptionally large. We came into the like a roadway, because it's so big.
Mm-hmm.
From there, I believe he said, come with me, and we went into some kind of transition point. And at that point, we moved into the exploration of how things were going to work. And in my mind, I'm still thinking, what are they going to show me? They're going to show me how you know, flying saucers work or something. Anyway, I'm still pretty much just me, you know, just trying to absorb a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm spending time with my guide. And my guide looks exactly like that poor guy that has this. There's on YouTube, there's a leaked video, a leak of an alien, and he is kind of just standing there. It looks exactly like my guy. And I'm looking down on him, so in an interesting perspective, because he has these big eyes, long hands, and a face that looks like a 10-year-old, you know, place
mm-hmm.
in his big head, you know. But from the top, his head is sort of triangular. The back part of his head is flatter in, when you look down on it. It's not just an oval shape, it's more triangular.
Mm-hmm.
Broad and wide and big, but there's a flatness in the back of it. And in any case, he asked me how old I was. I told him, well, I think, yeah, I'm 19. And he said, oh, okay, well, how old do you think I am? And I said, well, you look like you're 10 years old. And he said, I'm a lot older than that, a lot older than you are. And I said, you sure look like a kid to me. And you're nice. Well, you know, we live a long time. We have a long life. And I said, how's that? Well, and he's walking along, and he looked. It's one of the first things he showed me was, see that up there? And I said, yeah, you go in there. You go in there, and you live forever. What? That's one of the very first things he showed me was the translation chamber, resurrection chamber, renewal chamber. That place where you go and you live forever. And I said, oh. And I said, you mean if I go in there, I'll live forever? Well, that was his understanding. Later, I went to learn, he ended up learning something too about we human beings as mortals in transitioning through this technology that they possess. glass over there is in flat cheese. It's sort of this clear, molded around. There's no real sharp edges, sharp delineation points, like corners. Everything sort of comes to a rounded over area. Even where walls would come down to meet the floor, they're kind of like rounded over at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at it, walking on this place, and noticing where does the light come from? I'm looking for lights, looking for light sources. I'm looking for, there's nothing. It's all just illuminated, and it was brighter, but not. It didn't hurt my light. The light didn't hurt my eyes. Like, because we came from a darkened area in the forest or the garden.
Yeah, the Urantia book talks about life assembly chambers and resurrection technology, and it's interesting that you point that out. I just wanted to back up a little bit regarding when you first went into this the architectural sphere. Is that when you also noticed other ships as well, or was that later?
No, actually, mm-hmm. We seem to debark from the plane or the ship right into a very short walk
mm-hmm.
into the garden area.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't remember. Actually, it wasn't illuminated. I didn't have the full dimension because it only had enough light for what we needed, and it was directed light. So the pathway in the direction we were going was illuminated. So mm-hmm. That's enough. Like a spotlight shining down either. You know, this is an interesting thing. It was just like, the light is there where you need it. And that's the direction you're going. It's illuminated, and you just go that way. The Urantia book, I believe, also talks about light that has no heat, like a
mm-hmm.
source. That's a different kind of light. And of course, we're learning a lot more about light right now, talking about we as human beings here on Earth, and using some of the interesting things about light. So there was I wasn't shown that yet, just yet.
Mm-hmm. Please carry on.
Okay, so as we continued on, I was also in the mindset that I was going to discover a lot more about God. And one of the things I discovered, of course, along that path was that physical life was able to be continued through this technology that they possess, because it was a chamber, and that I was going to be revealed a lot more. So went on, we started moving on, and we went on through to another place, which introduced me to other types of beings, other types of sentient beings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the guy taking me there. So he took me to a place where I would be meeting other sentient life forms. So we, who are essentially, you know, mammalian life, I mean, of humanoid type, with skeletal structure, went over to meet this great, great big room I walked into. And in this room,
mm-hmm.
one complete sheet or curved. It's like a fishbowl, the spherical type fishbowl,
mm-hmm.
except it was huge, and so huge you could put a couple whales in it and let them swim around in it. But inside of there, laying down, was what to me was obviously a giant octopus, although I didn't count the tentacles. In fact, I didn't see the tentacles because they were wrapped out underneath, which is some of the ways in which an octopus will kind of sleep. And his head was down, his eyes are closed, seemed to be closed. And we walked over to him, and I said, "Wow, yeah, this is the largest octopus I've ever seen." And would eat a whale. I mean, a whale wouldn't have a chance, it was so big. So I said, "Well, what is this all about? You mean you got space for this guy?" We obviously they have plenty of space. And he's there, and he's just kind of cruising. And then I make a statement that, as I get really close, and says, "You're not going to take him to Earth, are you? Because if he goes to Earth, he might eat all our, and they propagate, they might end up filling the oceans with giant octopuses that would eat everything." And he says, "No, it's not about that." And I said, "Okay, all right." And I was looking at him and just in awe because of the spectacular size of this animal. As I was soon to discover, it was more than an animal.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up becoming more engaged. So I said, "On Earth we got this, and in Hawaii, we love to eat these guys. Taco is the name for them. We like to call them taco or octopus, Japanese name for it. And we like to eat it." And then his eyes kind of like opened and looked at me. And I noticed his eye, because I only could see one eye, was huge. It was like, wow, huge. Just opened up and looked at me. And he says, "You look pretty good to eat, too." continued on, marveling at this grand animal or person. I began to start to call them people, people without, you know, people, gigantic people. And I asked them, does it require being so big to become that way, like a person, having personality? And I said no. And went on, and appeared in this room, a big lump of fur, what looked like fur, and it rotated around and looked like a bug, maybe 10 to, well, it's harder hard because it kind of like would spread out and or cuddle up. Finally spread out of it. It turned around actually, and I couldn't make out much more shape, except it looked like a circular rug laid out, a little laying flat. Other than that's it, of course, but it was at one time it humped up and then it like rotated around. So like I said, he didn't want to be bothered. And I immediately knew it was some kind of an animal or something. And it was really, really beautiful. It was like having a fur or covering on it that was very luxuriant. And, when it moved, there were places under it that seemed to be enlivened. So it seemed to have some technique that it used underneath it. Enlivened what it was underneath it. And he says, this is our gardener. This is the one that keeps our garden out there, or the park, you know, the garden. I think he called it a garden. But to me, gardens don't necessarily have trees in them. But anyway, it's a huge garden anyway. And he's the one that supposed to take care of it. And I said, my picture of a gardener is a human being that goes around with a hoe and a, you know, his little tools and makes it. He says, oh yeah, but he operates in a different way. And I knelt down and I was going to pet him and I was stopped. He says, oh, don't do that. He doesn't like to be touched. And I said, wow. He looks so nice. I want to, you know, like pet him. It's like huge, but he's so nice. But he's kind of a little bit antisocial at the time. I think he said yes. He's here because he's tired. He wants to rest. And but I'm showing him to you. And he's called a Sponasia. And I said Sponasia, like mold, like spores. And he says, well, no, not really, he's animal. And I said, okay, well, I'll just remember him as like moldy or something. But, you know, but if I ever hear of something like that on Earth, then I'll figure it out. I'll put two and two together. So I got to meet a Sponasia. And I believe you might have wondered about that too, Jay.
Yes. Yeah, the Urantia book talks about the Sponasias, caretakers, that's true. I think we're at the hour. Wow, it just flew right by again.
Yeah, well, just for your information, what was question all about for Riley Martin and the relationship with Sponasia.
Yes.
Well, I gave you understanding of the Sponasia. The question is classified as, it was introduced to me as a space pet, but more qualify it closer would be a celestial companion.
Celestial companion.
So it comes under that. I had a graduate guide with me, so he had a lot of information, but that's pretty much later. At this point, it's very early in the experience.
Mm-hmm. thank you for coming today, and I'm really looking forward to next week again.
Okay.
You take care now. Thank you. Bye.